With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. A lot to get to today over this next hour up until 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Scott, it's the start of the opening week of preseason in full all around the National Football League. A doubleheader of NFL preseason games comes our way in just about 48 hours on a Thursday, which means some joint practices this week that have gotten so fiery between the Detroit Lions and the New York Giants. We've got big NFL news as it pertains to Brandon Ayuk and what the San Francisco 49ers plan to do with their top wide receiver, and some quarterback depth chart news early in training camp as well. And a college football story that you literally have to hear or see to believe that we'll break down later in the show. Scott, glad to have you back here on Football Full Circle. Let's get it rocking.
Yeah, there is a whole ton to talk about, right? And this is the time of the year where I hear so many people say, Ben, well, I don't bet preseason games. That's goofy. And, well, I get that. I do. It is, you know, almost a toss-up of a coin. But it's also the time where you can find little angles. And now you got to start analyzing and start looking for stories where the head coach says this guy's going to play, meaning the quarterbacks. Our starters will play. Our starters won't play. So if you do your due diligence, you know, you make these little mental notes during the course of the week. Sometimes they're hard to find. But you can get little nuggets into the head coach's plans. And if you know the guy's going to play his starters, you know you got a heads up on the gambling side of things. If you know he's not going to play his starters, same right. thing. So you got to kind of really do your research for these games if you're going to bet them.
Absolutely so. I think there is motivation and edges to be had, Scott, in NFL preseason handicapping, although the handicapping from a power rating or algorithm perspective might not be incredibly sound. But still, if you know football, you can find some profit. Scott, let's start with the big news that came out this morning after Brandon Ayuk requested a trade in the final few weeks of the offseason before San Francisco reported to training camp. And the Niners said officially, we are not interested in trading Ayuk at all for the embattled and disgruntled wide receiver with this San Francisco franchise throughout the offseason. Today, a change in tune. The 49ers and general manager John Lynch are listening to potential trade requests where Adam Schefter and Mike Rice, there for ESPN, are both reporting the Cleveland Browns and the New England Patriots have shown some interest. So now it would seem, Scott, the 49ers are actively listening to the trade interest in Brandon Ayuk. No deal is done. No terms are in place, but it is quite a 180 from what San Francisco maintained throughout this entire offseason, despite Brandon Ayuk's pleas to get a new deal or to no longer be with the 49ers.
Yeah, it really has. You know, I guess Washington and Pittsburgh, Ben, were part of the four teams that, according to NBC Sports in San Francisco anyway, the Niners gave permission to Ayuk's people to talk to. They've dropped out, and as you mentioned, it's seemingly down to the Cleveland Browns and New England Patriots. But I guess, you know, reading the stories, who knows if this is really true, but maybe. You know, I guess the ability of these teams to trade for Ayuk, willing to give up players, has kind of changed San Francisco's mind a little bit. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but okay, I'll take it for its word, but it's more just a switch of, okay, we're willing to trade him. The only thing I can think of, Ben, is that they're just dead set. We're not going to re-sign him after this year. So we're not going to franchise him. So now we make the decision. Are we going to get something for him or roll the dice and try and win a Super Bowl, maybe lose him afterwards? And somehow or another, that flipped, and they said we're not going to lose him for nothing, it appears.
Yeah, it is really interesting, though, Scott, because when Brandon Ayuk demanded his trade, it wasn't overwhelmingly shocking news because we knew he was unhappy without receiving a contract extension throughout the entirety of the offseason from San Francisco. So, okay, he's demanded his trade. Maybe it's a leverage play to get San Francisco back to the table to try to find this contract extension. And the Niners almost maintained it as such. Hey, he can say anything he wants. We are not interested in trading Brandon Ayuk. We look forward to having him as a key contributor to our team once again. And that is what Ayuk is. His two best seasons in the National Football League of his four-year career has happened in the last 2 years. In 2022, the first time over 1,000 receiving yards. Last year, more than 1,300 receiving yards and an AP second team All-Pro. Why do I highlight the previous two seasons? Despite being his career bests, Brock Purdy was the quarterback for a good majority of that. Now, we know there are so many talented offensive pieces at Purdy's disposal under the coordination of Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, everybody. And the Niners are on the hook for a lot of payments. Either they have paid out over the past two off seasons or Brock Purdy's big new deal on the horizon following 2024. But with all of that being said, Scott, Brandon Ayuk is not necessarily looked at as an upper echelon receiver in the National Football League. Fair or unfair, you really can compare some of his stats to the guys that were also in his 2024 first-round NFL draft class at the wide receiver spot. Justin Jefferson, who got the biggest deal a non-quarterback has ever received earlier this offseason, and CeeDee Lamb, who still awaits that long-term deal with the Dallas Cowboys. Is Brandon Ayuk of that ilk? I think that's up for debate. Is he the top target from at least a wide receiver perspective for San Francisco and Brock Purdy? I don't really think there is a debate. Purdy looks to Ayuk, and he should be a key contributor for this offense, but it seems as though that relationship has soured.
Yeah, it's amazing. The numbers aren't there, right? I mean, you said it, Ben. There were 30 now. Not 5, 6, 7, top 10. There were 30 other tight ends or wide receivers that had more receptions than Ayuk last year. I mean, that's a lot. So the numbers, as good as he is, but the numbers don't reflect that because there are so many weapons in San Francisco. It's not really a knock on him, I guess. It's just that, you know, there's so many other weapons. The defense is so good. They're leading big, so they're not throwing in the fourth quarter like maybe a lot of other teams. So he doesn't have those numbers, and I think because of that, people, you know, tend to think, okay, he's probably not a top 2, 3, or 4 wide receiver. Maybe he is, maybe he won't. If I'm the Patriots, though, I look at the numbers and say, all right, we have a rookie quarterback in Drake May, you know, so if he's not going to produce 85, 95 receptions for San Francisco in that situation, then why is he going to do that for us? Cleveland, maybe a little different story, but the Patriots one, that to me is the head scratcher, but they're so bad, New England, that they just, you know, they need to get good football players in there.
Yeah, listen, it's a good point, too, because from the other perspective of it, Scott, the teams that could be interested, perhaps, in trading for Brandon Ayuk, it's not just giving up your draft capital or your assets to entice the San Francisco 49ers with that lucrative trade offer they would hope to receive for Ayuk. It's also, once Ayuk is a member, or if Ayuk becomes a member of your organization, having to pay the guy. It's the reason he's unhappy with San Francisco in the first place. So that's kind of the interesting debate there for the 49ers and what they decide to do, because the asking price is going to be high. It is going to be a ton of NFL draft assets that San Francisco more than likely is demanding in return. It's a peculiar situation, Scott. And from the 49ers' perspective, they're a Super Bowl co-favorite alongside Kansas City. They are the short favorites to win the NFC. A 3-1 price on the Niners. The Lions and the Eagles backed by $2.50, tied for the second best price. This should be the time of the year where everybody's like, all right, we're feeling good, we're happy, we've got the pieces in place, we're ready to make that charge past Kansas City and to a Super Bowl championship for the first time since 1994. It's really been anything but that in camp so far for San Francisco. Brandon Ayuk is there, but now might be on his way out. Trent Williams still holding out, looking for that new deal as the best left tackle in football.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can't pay everybody. I get that. But listen, man, if they make this trade, right, clearly they're not as good if they make the trade without Ayuk, right? So if they get, like, Kendrick Bourne, they're talking about Kendrick Bourne being a possible trade piece with the New England Patriots. If they get Bourne and a even second or third-round pick or a couple of the, you know, lower picks, they got to get, like, to be a number one. If they don't get a number one from the Patriots, which could be really, really good, man, there's no way I would make this deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. And I wonder what the conclusion now is, because it felt pretty set in stone. Okay, Ayuk, you're unhappy. Maybe we'll talk to you. Maybe we'll work some things out and figure out a new deal or a way forward. Now it seems like San Francisco truly has him on the trading block. More around the National Football League comes your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So Brandon Ayuk is unhappy, and the San Francisco 49ers are listening to trade requests. Elsewhere around the National Football League, Scott, we got some depth chart news. Four teams around the NFL, as we are now in the first full week of NFL preseason action. Again, games debuting with a doubleheader on Tuesday. And Scott, we got two depth charts that have been released that feature one of the six rookie quarterbacks taken in the top 12 of the 2024 NFL Draft. And neither of those guys, at least as of this moment, early on in training camp, before preseason action fully gets underway, are listed as the starter. In Minnesota, Sam Darnold is the starter in front of J.J. McCarthy. And this one, perhaps even a tad more surprising, in Denver, it is not Bo Nix listed as the starter. In fact, it's not even Bo Nix listed as the backup. Jarrett Stidham is listed as the number one quarterback in the Broncos QB room, followed by Zach Wilson, and then Bo Nix checks in on the third string as of this moment.
That's weird, right? You know, okay, I could see him not being the starter. You know, we've heard from Washington, even though we all know that Jaden Daniels is going to end up being the starter. Right. But we've had them say, you know, he's got to have to earn it, this, that, and what have you, right? Coach rhetoric, which is fine. But to have him not be the number two guy, to make him the number three guy, that's, you know, you could say, okay, Stidham, he's the veteran, he's going to be our guy to start, and let Bo Nix earn his way onto the team, if you will. But I don't know why you would make him the third guy. To me, that means either two things, Ben. Either he really, really stinks, which I don't think he does. I thought he was going to be one of the better guys coming out. Or he's got an attitude problem, and they want to put him back in place and get his feet back on the ground, and maybe he's a little too cocky, and they say, oh, really? You think you're the greatest thing in the world? All right, we're not only going to make you the starter, we're going to make you the number three guy. To me, it's got to be one of the two things, because that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it really doesn't, Scott. And we have talked about this often, right? The quarterbacks that we expected to start right away of the six taken in the top 12, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels seem as though they are virtual locks. J.J. McCarthy in a quarterback battle with Sam Darnold, who Kevin O'Connell at the end of the offseason program said that Darnold, the acquisition this offseason, a one-year $10 million deal in Minneapolis, was going to be listed as the one. We thought maybe Bo Nix could be in there as well. And then we pretty much believe that Drake May would not start week number one for New England. And again, if Michael Penix Jr. starts at all this year in Atlanta over Kirk Cousins, things have gone awry, whether it be injury or something else. But Scott, of the six rookie quarterbacks, three have a prop listed on the FanDuel Sportsbook: Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Bo Nix. So to see Nix come in, not as the backup, or maybe Sean Payton will be asked about this, I'm sure, today at training camp and at practice. Why is he listed at three? We don't have that clarification at this moment. But to see Bo Nix behind Zach Wilson and Jarrett Stidham does give you a little bit of caution, right? A little bit of reason to press pause, if you will, because that's not what you're hoping for at all. Bo Nix is supposed to be the face of the franchise and to do so right away. And it's not like Bo Nix is a 20-year-old guy who started 40 seasons as a redshirt sophomore at Insert X school. He's had the most starts in the history of FBS football as a starting quarterback in the history of the sport. 68 starts Bo Nix made during his five-year college career at Auburn and or Oregon. He's got that experience, I'm not sure, Scott, it will mean anything come week two of preseason, come week three of preseason, the final week of training camp before the season opener. I still expect Bo Nix to be the starter in Denver, but it's not necessarily the most overly optimistic report to see that first depth chart out for the Broncos.
And then, Ben, you throw in the fact that, you know, nothing for nothing, but it's Zach Wilson, right? I mean, This is not just a Jacoby Brissett or a Sam Darnold, you know, that maybe you could see, all right, we'll give the benefit of the doubt even at second string. I mean, this is Zach Wilson, and which the NFL world has seen over the last 2 years is just god-awful, right? I mean, he's lucky to be in a camp at this point. So if Bo Nix, because based on performance so far, can't beat out Zach Wilson, that either, you know, Wilson's seen the epiphany or something's going on with Nix like we talked about. A little disconcerting I would be if I'm a Broncos fan. Like I said, I could see Stidham. Okay, you know, you're the veteran. You probably got the offense down a little bit more. But to be behind Zach Wilson, something's got to be going on there with Nix in Denver.
Yeah, and Scott, for what it's worth, right, we have talked about the props that are available, the three rookie quarterbacks that have a season-long prop listed, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Bo Nix. The number on Bo Nix has moved down on the FanDuel Sportsbook, 28.50.5, a number we gave out last week and you and I have touched on prior that we like, given the idea that he's going to start early and often for Denver, given the stats, given where Sean Payton is as an offensive mind, that number now 27.75.5. So The market's reacting to the news that Bo Nix is third on the depth chart. Again, just things at this stage that cause a little bit of concern. For J.J. McCarthy, Scott, more of a development project out of Michigan, despite the pedigree and the win percentage, at least in production in college, it wasn't all there. And Sam Darnold has been listed as the starter. Does this depth chart make you change any assessment you had on what the Vikings roster is going to be?
No, I would have been surprised if it would have been reversed. I think, look, we've talked about this, or at least I mentioned to one of the guys here on Sports Grid. I would be, if I'm J.J. McCarthy, I'd be a little concerned. Now, you're not going to, more than likely, you won't have Addison for the first three games as he figures to be suspended for his DUI. But still, that Viking offense is loaded. So if you have any ability whatsoever, and I think Darnold has some, you know, I don't think it's going to be an issue with the Viking offense that's going to keep, McCarthy, on the bench. I think it's going to be the defense. So if Darnold does his share, then I don't know when you're going to see J.J. McCarthy. So, but I figured it would be Sam Darnold starting. That would have been the surprise. Not completely. Drake May over Brissett, okay, supposedly. But, you know, because I'm not high on McCarthy to begin with, I figured it would be Darnold.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. It will be interesting to see how these depth charts develop throughout the year. Just so it is known, Minnesota opens up the regular season on the road in MetLife against the Giants, a place that Sam Darnold knows well. They are a 1.5-point road favorite. And then the Denver Broncos open up in Seattle. That could have had ramifications if Russell Wilson was still there, but the Broncos a 4.5-point underdog on the road in the Northwest. We'll talk some more training camp talk around the National Football League up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So some more quarterback news, Scott, around NFL training camp as we enter the first full week of preseason action around the National Football League. As we shared, J.J. McCarthy listed as the backup, Sam Darnold the starter on the initial depth chart out of Minnesota. Bo Nix listed as quarterback number three behind both Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham, who is listed as the number one QB in Denver. And then this, in the last 20 minutes or so out of Carolina, Dave Canales, new head coach of the Panthers, told reporters and media at practice today that Bryce Young is not slated to play on Thursday. The Panthers in one of the two preseason games on Thursday night, and Carolina is not going to play Bryce Young. It was a 4.5-point spread earlier this morning with the news that the Panthers will not play Bryce Young. The line has worked up to 6.5 in favor of New England. These are the updates that you need, of course, throughout preseason to try to handicap and lay a wager on these games. And Scott, it's the decision from Dave Canales. I find it an intriguing decision to not play Bryce Young in a season where he needs to learn on the fly.
Yeah, you know, listen, you want to be a pessimist. I wonder why the line didn't drop, not go higher, right? I'd rather see more of Andy Dalton and even Jake Plummer than I would Bryce Young. But, yeah, you would think new offense and new head coach and everything that you would want to see him as much as possible. There are only 3 preseason games, you know, not 4, 5, or even 6. I'll date myself. I mean, I would think you'd want to get him out there. But, you know, the other thing, Ben, is, you know, we saw yesterday with Detroit and in the New York Giants, right? These guys do have so many scrimmages, whether it's amongst themselves or really other teams. The game itself now, there really is no need for preseason football games. There just isn't. These guys all get together. They practice amongst each other, you know, and it's game simulated. So you don't need these, and maybe that's the thing. There's, you know what, we'll let them do this behind the scenes. We don't want to have people saying, oh, no, he's still lousy if he doesn't do well in a preseason game. So we'll have them take part in all the scrimmages and everything else. But the games themselves, don't worry about that, Bryce.
Yeah. I don't really get it, though, Scott. Again, I hear your point, right? Preseason means different things to different people. Some coaches have a mentality where they want to go out there and win because winning starts early and often. And you would certainly think that for this Carolina team that was the worst in the National Football League last year at 2-15, that Dave Canales would want to come in right away and set a winning tone. And that would be a starting quarterback who was drafted first overall and had an incredibly disappointing rookie campaign. This one mystifies me. Scott, I was talking about this game on the early line earlier today and saying that based on roster construction and where things are in New England, that if Bryce Young does play, the Panthers as a 4.5-point underdog, there's your bet. Well, now that has gone out the window. I get your point in terms of the veterans that are there for Carolina. Still, it's an interesting one to me. I wonder if we see Drake May, who has had an up and down training camp and offseason with New England, some excited by Joe Milton, the other rookie QB that was selected out of Tennessee, or Jacoby Brissett, of course, the veteran presence for this New England quarterback room. Just because a guy is not the starter entering the preseason often means actually we probably will see him more. Speaking of New England, Scott, just quickly here on Jerod Mayo, who was asked by the reporters today on the rumors of his team's involvement and interest in a potential Brandon Ayuk trade, said, quote, "I know what all you guys want to know. One thing I learned from Bill, that being Bill Belichick, I don't talk about players on other teams," end quote. So not much information, as you might expect, out of the new head coach of the Pats.
Yeah, 2 things. One, back to Carolina for a second. I hope they're not protecting him, Ben. I mean,
right.
Back to your point where, listen, even if the Patriots said, yeah, we're going to play nothing but second, third string starters, fine. If you're Carolina, you do what you need to do. Wouldn't you want to have the guy have some success, even if it isn't a preseason game? Just, you know, there was so little success last year. Why not, you know, have him go out there and then play a half, for goodness sakes, and just, you know, have a couple of touchdown drives, which they really didn't do that much last year. And so that is kind of weird, you know, despite what I said about him, you know, maybe just but the fear for me would be that he still stinks and they don't want to show the Carolina Panther fan he still stinks and then, you know, sell 5 tickets. So I hope they're not protecting him. As far as the Patriots, yeah, you know, I was reading that story and then that's where I read where Bourne was possibly going to be involved in some trade, you know, with San Fran for Ayuk. That's interesting. Clearly, they're talking, clearly.
Yeah. Even if Jerod Mayo doesn't have much to say about it, that often can mean that things are happening behind the scenes. Some more quarterback news for preseason football available today, and we'll talk about joint practices and what is ahead in training camp next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. He's got some more quarterback news entering week number one of the preseason. Despite becoming one of the richest players in the history of the NFL, Jordan Love, with his new deal in place, $55 million per year, he is going to play for the Packers in their preseason opener on Saturday in Cleveland. The Browns a 3.5-point favorite. Any surprise to see Jordan Love, even with his rich contract extension, lining it up on Saturday?
Yeah, a little bit, but this is what I mentioned at the top of the show, right? You find these stories and you hear a head coach, in this case Matt LaFleur for the Packers, you know, tell the world that, you know, he wants his star quarterback to play, which means that the starters, you know, alongside of him, they're not going to put him out there with backup offensive linemen, right? Backup wide receivers and everything else. So that gives you a little insight. And, you know, some of this stuff can be a little overrated, Ben, in that, you know, they say they start okay, but, you know, sometimes that could be a series or two, not even an entire quarter. So, you know, you're betting on Jordan Love playing the four quarters, and, you know, that's hardly the case. But at least you get a drive or two out of these guys. You know, with only three preseason games, you know, I'm more disappointed. I'm not saying surprised, but I would be more disappointed if I was rooting for a team and my starters weren't playing. You know, get out there. Right. You know, play a quarter now. That's not going to kill you, right? Right. So good to see the Packers do this. You know, it's always a little surprising when you have a star quarterback, but, you know, is he really a star quarterback? I know he's paid like a star quarterback, but I guess we'll find out after year number two of him starting.
Yeah, continuing that optimism for sure, at least from the end of year production with the reward that was this contract extension now into his second full year as the Packers starting quarterback. Scott, I know the fear is always injury, especially with your stars, especially with your quarterback in preseason action, and I understand that. But you do want to set a mentality, at least in my estimation, right? The wins and losses, those results don't matter. How you go about game day operation, that certainly matters, and that competitive fire has a significance to preseason games as well. The wins and losses aren't going to hurt your chances of reaching the playoffs or winning a division or contending for a Super Bowl. We understand that. So in the long term, when you are judged by wins and losses and success, it is really relatively meaningless. But I do believe preseason games offer up something, and I'm not advocating for starters or starting quarterbacks to play a quarter, a half, the full game, a series or two. I think is a smart move, especially with a compacted window, player availability, all things withstanding. That's at least my thought on preseason and the way that I would judge things entering a year.
Yeah, and it's not only the quarterback. You know, I think most people think, Ben, okay, well, you know, why are you going to risk injury with a quarterback? You know, a lot of it is like you may have rookie offensive linemen that they're going to be utilized, yeah. And that got to hear the cadence and get used to sounds and signals, wide receivers, running backs. So it's more than just the quarterback himself. Yes, you know, maybe he's a part of it, but a lot of it is all the other guys that got to get used to, you know, playing real football, if you will. So I like it, too. If I was a head coach, I would play these guys at least a quarter, and really to me, quarter and a half. I'm not going to play him in the fourth quarter of a game. You know, that would be silly with a bunch of backups in there, but I would keep the starters in there as long as possible, get some of the backups that will be playing some, and, you know, I'll play a good quarter and a half of some of these games, if not a full half.
And Scott, it's a good point to remember as well. It's not just Jordan Love out there, but hey, we're not going to have our top wide receivers there. If a starting quarterback is going to play even a series, that means all of the starting offense is going to be out there as well. We learned earlier this week that Dan Quinn had named Jaden Daniels the starter for Washington's preseason opener on the road in MetLife against the New York Jets on Saturday afternoon. And unlike Bo Nix or J.J. McCarthy, Daniels' fellow first-round draft picks at the QB spot, Jaden Daniels listed as the number one starter in the depth chart as well. It's a line this upcoming Saturday that sees Washington as a favorite on the road in New York. They're laying 2.5 points under a field goal against the Jets. Of course, Robert Saleh confirming many weeks ago that Aaron Rodgers, at the age of 40 years old and the veteran entering year number 20, not going to be out there for the Jets in the preseason.
Yeah, this is one of my better plays. I think I'm curious to see how long Daniels plays. I'm guessing, you know, a half, I would think, if that's the design for him to be the starting quarterback, you know, when the regular season really hits. So why not throw him out there for a good half? I like this one a lot. I think the Jets are a veteran team that, you know, really doesn't care one iota, especially after what happened last year about the preseason, whereas the Washington Commanders are a young team, new head coach, albeit a veteran head coach, but a new head coach. Wants to instill that, you know, winning attitude like you talked about with Carolina, maybe. I think this is one that falls into that classic. You got one team that wants to show something with a rookie quarterback versus a veteran team that really just wants to get out of there healthy. So I do like Washington. Kind of weird to see Washington a road favorite, but first of all, it's not that far from Jersey to Washington. And like I said, if it's third and fourth stringers for the Jets, it doesn't matter where they're playing.
Yeah, absolutely so. And Scott, I think it's a really good point. If you remember the New York Jets, who, of course, were the feature of Hard Knocks last year, one of their main gripes in preseason, although Aaron Rodgers did not see a ton of action, except I think in week number two, was how porous the offensive line was. The Jets played in the Hall of Fame game. They lost against the Cleveland Browns, but they did win two of their next three preseason games. But the offensive line was not very good, so I wonder how that factors into the thought this week for the New York Jets. Also, Scott, just something to note, the line is now completely off the board on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Bo Nix's season-long passing yards prop is no longer available. Only two quarterbacks are listed, Caleb Williams in Chicago, Jaden Daniels in Washington. After the news that came out just a little bit ago, that Bo Nix is listed as the third-string QB in Denver behind Jarrett Stidham, the starter, and Zach Wilson as the backup.
And that was literally out there 10 minutes ago. I when we were talking about it, I was looking at 10 minutes ago that was there. I don't know if they were listening to us or someone called them up and said, what are you doing? This guy's not even number two. He's number three. I don't know if they got pounded with a big bet on the under. It's still not a lot of yards, though. Yeah, when I looked at that, you know, the 2850, let's just say, all right, he doesn't start, you know, and he misses, what, five games, you know, but he's going to start the remaining 12. I mean, somewhere along the line, he's going to get in there, no matter how bad he is. Unless Denver, you know, opens up with a great year, that's still only about 200, 220, 225 yards a game. You know, so it's still manageable, even if he doesn't get the start for the beginning of the season. What made it a good bet, Ben, was the thinking that he's going to start all 17 games. Then it was like next to nothing that 2850. So, but I find it's interesting that they took the bet down. How about that?
Yeah. Scott, part of the handicap was, as we've laid out here on FFC, was not only his availability, but the fact that Russell Wilson only played 15 games last year for Denver. Wasn't overly prolific, throwing for more than 250 just three times in the season overall, and still found his way over 3,000 passing yards. So there still is some wiggle room for Bo Nix in this system. And again, just because he's listed third string now doesn't mean he'll be third string at the end of the preseason or training camp, but obviously not great if you've already bet the over like I did of 2850 and a half on Bo Nix. Got some other news. As we shared, the preseason gets started fully in week number one on Tuesday. The doubleheader, we learned Bryce Young is not going to play for Carolina in New England. The Patriots a 6.5-point favorite now. The Giants will host the Lions, 3.5-point spread, and they've been in joint practices, Detroit and New York, the last few days at training camp. And Scott, there has been a flurry of fights. Daniel Jones involved in one yesterday against the Lions, and then today Malik Nabers was running back, got into it with Kirby Joseph of Detroit, and they started throwing haymakers at each other. These two teams are feeling no love lost against one another this week.
Well, I don't understand the philosophy this bad. Well, what am I missing? All right, so you're going to play this team in a couple of days anyway, so let's have joint practices so we can beat the crap out of each other. And then by the time the game comes, what, no one's going to care? I don't get the joint practice. I know it's been around for a while, but yeah, I don't understand that at all.
Sometimes, Scott, it's often more competitive than the preseason game because you might see the ones versus the ones. It's not full tackle. It might not be at a full speed like that, but it does get heated. We'll continue the football conversations next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. Joint practices can be fun, but they can also be a time where some haymakers are thrown, as we have seen this week between the Detroit Lions and the New York Giants, who kick off preseason week number one in full as a part of the doubleheader on Thursday night at MetLife. The Giants, a 3.5-point favorite against the Lions. Daniel Jones was involved in one of the dust-ups yesterday, and then within the last hour, Malik Nabers taking a shot at Detroit's secondary guy, Kirby Joseph. They come to blows. It leads to an all-out brawl once again. Scott, I follow Danny Rogers, who's the team reporter for the Lions on Twitter. She said yesterday it was the most fights she has ever seen at a football practice. There could be a couple of reasons for this. It's the first time during the heated and hot months of training camp and in those days that you're seeing other competition outside of guys in your own locker room. It's ones versus ones. It's the best versus the best, which we don't often see during preseason games. And maybe on top of that, Scott, it's to set a tone. At least here, if you get in fights or physical altercations, you're not receiving a 15-yard penalty from those referees. Now, there are some refs at training camp practices that try to break things up and make it follow as closely to a football game as you would see. But it's been an interesting time at these joint practices between the Lions and the Giants.
Yeah, and if you saw the highlights, those refs were not some of those refs. I got a kick out. You could see the refs, but they're just standing there. They want no part. You know, if you think like of a hockey scrum, I always feel bad for the referees. I've always said, just let them fight. You know what? You want to fight? Go ahead. There's 5-minute fighting. You won't play for another 5 minutes. But they always kind of get in there and get involved, right? Were these refs yesterday with the Giants in ninth? They were just standing back, just hey, arms folded. Go ahead. You want to fight? Go knock yourself out. I don't know how much they get paid, if at all, but they wanted no part in breaking this stuff up. And it was Daniel Jones who really kind of incited it for the Giants. There was a little scrum going on, and he kind of rushes in from the backfield as he was quarterbacking, obviously, and pushed someone from behind, and that's what started at least one of the ones that I saw. So, but as I was saying before the break, what is the purpose of that? I mean, if you're having a preseason game against that team, why would you want to scrimmage them? I mean, I could see scrimmaging maybe somebody else just because you want to get some, real live stuff in there. But you're playing them on Thursday anyway, so you're going to practice with them for 2 days? I don't know. The whole thing is kind of weird, which again goes back to what I said with these preseason games. You don't need preseason games. You really don't. I think eventually in our lifetime, Ben, we're going to get to 20 games. The NFL is going to tell these players, all right, no more preseason games. You want to hold all these practices. I think they would be fine with that. We'll eliminate all the preseason games. We'll get it at 20, and then it'll be 20 from here on out for the next 35 years. I think that's what's eventually going to happen.
I would agree, Scott. I think that is certainly where we are trending right now, with those joint practices probably being the only time during training camp that you are going to see guys face off against another. I understand joint practices just from the logistical standpoint, right? You got a team traveling to take on another team for preseason, so you show up a few days early, you get some looks against other competition than just the same guys you have been seeing for the last week or so, and it is a time where often in preseason, we're not going to see Jared Goff on Thursday, for instance, where you get Jared Goff against the Giants' number one defense, and vice versa for Danny Dimes versus Detroit's number one defense. So I do understand it from that perspective, but yeah, it just seems like every time there's a joint practice, somebody's throwing hands at somebody else. Scott, some other news around the NFL that kind of delves into college. Jim Harbaugh, of course, the former head coach at Michigan last season, led the Wolverines to a national championship, was asked yesterday about a notice of allegation draft that was released to ESPN in terms of Michigan's sign-stealing scandal and potential discipline and punishment that could be passed down to the Michigan football program in the coming days. Nothing made official yet by the NCAA for any rules violations by Michigan. But Jim Harbaugh is accused in the notice of allegation draft of level one violations, the most serious category in the NCAA's enforcement process. It would also face a show cause penalty, potentially, that would be there to discipline Jim Harbaugh should he ever return to college sports. Jim Harbaugh was asked about his involvement in the sign-stealing scandal, if he had a reaction to the notice of allegation draft, and here's what Jim Harbaugh had to say. Quote, "No one is perfect. If you stumble, you apologize, and you make it right. Today, I do not apologize. I did not participate, was not aware nor complicit in those set of allegations, so it's back to work and attacking with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind." I'm going to miss Jim Harbaugh in the Big Ten and in college football, but at least we still get Harbaugh-isms in the National Football League. Scott, do you buy it? Do you buy that Jim wasn't involved in this notice of allegation draft that is soon to be handed down to the Michigan football program?
You would have to be a complete idiot or just an ardent Michigan blind fan to think what he said was true. I mean, and before that comment, he said, "Never lie, never cheat, never steal. I was raised with that lesson. I've raised my family on that lesson, and I preach that lesson to the teams I've coached." Are you kidding me, Jim? They had the guy standing next to the defensive coordinator giving him the signals. I mean, how is the head coach? It's either like all these things. You go every scandal in college football or any other sport, right? If the head coach says, "I didn't know about it," then you're either lying or an idiot. It's one of the two, because it was so obvious Michigan cheated that's not, you know, under question anymore. Right. So you as the head coach didn't know that you were sending people to different cities around the country to scout these teams, and those kids were coming back and giving all the information to your defensive coordinator? Really, you're going to sit there with a straight face? And he made it seem yesterday, Ben, like this is the first he's heard of this thing. Like, what? What are you talking about? No, there's no way in the world. I mean, he doubled down on stupidity to me. You know, I thought he was going to say something to the effect of, you know, "We've all made mistakes and this and that." But he doubled down and said, "Nope, I'm not apologizing for anything. I didn't do anything wrong." I don't know how you could sit there in a straight face and make that statement when it was the evidence is so overwhelming. I mean, I got people admitting that they did this stuff. Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It was crazy. And the NCAA accuses Harbaugh of not cooperating, and he has never cooperated with NCAA investigations. That's why he was suspended to start last year, because he misled investigators into recruiting violations potentially that Michigan had committed. He refused to allow the organization to view relevant messages on his phone. We'll have more on this and other college football news next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, some college football news that deals with a guy in the National Football League. Jim Harbaugh, in his first year as the head coach of the L.A. Chargers, but tied up, of course, in a notice of allegation draft into the sign-stealing scandal that rocked college football and Ann Arbor last year in Jim Harbaugh's final season for the Maize and Blue. Connor Stallions, named in the notice of allegation draft, was the guy to spearhead the sign-stealing operation for Michigan. Current head coach Sharon Moore has been accused of violating NCAA rules and could face a level 2 violation from the NCAA's enforcement process. And then, of course, Jim Harbaugh was asked about it yesterday. And as we shared his quote, "Never lie, never cheat, never steal. I was raised with that lesson." Scott and I were just having this conversation throughout the break. The notice of allegation draft does not implicate by any means Jim Harbaugh or his coaching staff in having involvement with the sign-stealing operation. They did not actively participate or know about what it was. Now, you can choose to believe that or not. The evidence does not show that Jim Harbaugh had any active involvement. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's fine and dandy and correct. It means that he lacked control over his program to have a staff member, that was Connor Stallions, and another full-time staff member fully aware of what the sign-stealing operation was. He lacked institutional control, which is something the NCAA often brings down with a harsh punishment. Scott, for what the discipline will be to Michigan, when this is officially not a draft any longer, but a notice of allegation, plain and simple, that remains to be seen. But Jim Harbaugh, never a fan of the NCAA, not a fan of the NCAA anymore, even in the National Football League.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. You know, but so I'm not a Harbaugh guy, clearly. But I must say, you know, from the other side of it, you know, his defensive coordinator now with the Chargers, Jesse Minter, and Klingsdale, as you mentioned, you know, who's now with him here in L.A., they're accused of doing some things, helping recruit get verified on Instagram, writing a $100 check for a golf charity, sending text messages to a high school sophomore recruit.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, it's hard not to step back and say, well, wait a minute, I could pay a guy literally millions of dollars to come to my school now, but I can't send him a text message, or I can't help him get verified on Instagram. I mean, how does that with the NCAA make any sense? So I can see coaches getting very, very frustrated because it's so idiotic, right? We can pay player millions of dollars, but we can't get him verified on Instagram or TikTok or Facebook or whatever, you know, the case may be. I mean, this is kind of stupid, Ben, when you look at it from that standpoint. Some of these infractions, anyway.
For sure. And in the notice of allegation draft, it is highlighted by the sign-stealing operation, but mostly it is the NCAA considering Michigan as a football program to be a repeat offender. That a lot of it is led by Jim Harbaugh and his disdain for the organization as a whole. Scott, some other big news in college football today. The home of FIU football will now be known as Pitbull Stadium. That's Pitbull as in the recording artist, better known as Mr. Worldwide. In a five-year, $6 million deal, Pitbull the rapper is getting the naming rights to the FIU stadium. He's getting two suites for up to 40 people. He can use the venue for other purposes for 10 days per year, and his official title in involvement with Florida International Athletics is the official entrepreneur of FIU Athletics. There is no sports, Scott, like college football, and I'm not sure there's one that even comes relatively close.
It's amazing. Although I was reading a story yesterday, I don't know, maybe you guys talked about it. Is it Howard, I think it was, that they're selling a third of their basketball program? I mean,
yes. It's a Tommy Amaker, right? I mean, Duke point guard, yeah.
Yes, and yes. It's just like, what is there anything not for sale? I mean, you're selling part of your programs and stadiums. I mean, it's just like, wow. The almighty buck, right? It's amazing.
Yeah, everything is for sale. Licensing is going to be a huge thing, Scott. It's why we're not only going to see that for stadiums, but we are reportedly going to see that on jerseys. We are going to see that for advertising sales within stadiums in terms of the field and all of that, and maybe even conferences when all is said and done. As the Big 12 share that they're in talks with Allstate to take naming rights to the conference. Again, Pitbull Stadium, the home of FIU football. FIU, Florida International University, but as Pitbull is Mr. Worldwide, international and worldwide, certainly a partnership there. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. That does it for us today on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio. FFC is back tomorrow starting at noon Eastern time, live right here on Sports Grid. We'll talk to you then. Have a great day, everybody.